Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide breaking down the latest happenings with LSU Athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
What's required and asked of you to represent our university.
The players.
Let's have fun and we working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
We're all in to finish what we've started.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gildo.
Two great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition, the final edition of Tiger Rag Radio for 2025. This is Jeff Palermo inside the Super Chevy Dealer Studios, along with Tiger Rag Executive Editor Todd Horn. Glenn Gilbo, the editor for Tiger Rag, will join us via the phone here for this first couple of segments, as he was down in New Orleans, and Andre Champagne is our producer tonight once again. Thanks again for everyone listening here on Tiger Rag Radio and for your support all throughout the 2025 season. Got a good show lined up for you. Michael Bonnet, LSU Sports Information Director, will join us later on in the hour. Nick Bromberg from Yahoo Sports, who covers college football. And it will be an interesting conversation with Nick because he's a bit of a transfer portal guru. So, of course, with the transfer portal window opening on Friday, that, I think, is where most of the LSU fan base's interest are at. And then we'll hear from the voice of the Lady Tigers, Patrick Wright, as LSU women's basketball tips off SEC play on New Year's Day against the Kentucky Wildcats. But, Todd, Happy New Year. Thanks for holding the fort down the last couple of weeks that I have not been here, and I'm excited to be back and looking forward to a good show tonight.
Well, I'm glad to have you back, and I think probably Mr. Gilbo deserves most of the credit for holding the fort down because he did the heavy lifting as far as the mainline hosting went. But, hey, I was hoping that you or Andre slash Luke or maybe even Gilbo when he comes on would have some old Eng Zine. Can we play some old Eng Zine? Because I'm kind of I'm in the end of the year party mode right now.
Yeah. Maybe we could cook that up. Well, Glenn was down in New Orleans. Andre, do we got Glenn yet? Is he?
Yeah, he's here.
All right, let's bring in Glenn. Glenn, who spent the day in New Orleans. No, not getting ready for the new year, actually doing some business down there, doing some work. A very interesting day as you have six members of this LSU staff that are also on Ole Miss's staff for the time being until the Rebels are eliminated from the college football playoffs. And, of course, today the media had an opportunity to speak with Charlie Weiss Jr., who is LSU's offensive coordinator, and for, again, the time being, he is the Rebels' offensive coordinator and as well. Glenn, what was today like? Very strange, I would imagine. Here you are. You're talking to Charlie Weiss, who's going to be calling plays on Thursday night when Ole Miss takes on Georgia. But yet, he's also being paid by LSU.
Exactly. And I'm still in New Orleans. I'm going to be here for a while longer. We have a media party, which, you know, it's my duty to go to. I don't want to be irresponsible and not go. And then there's some other writers who asked me to go out to eat with them. So I have to be responsible and do that. So I'll be here till about 3 a.m., I'm sure. But,
hey, am I going to have to pay for any of this?
You usually don't, Todd. So
I'm asking right now.
Jim will take care of it. It was a great day, man. A lot of these media days are awesome because you get to talk to everybody. You know, everybody is available because the schools certainly don't do that anymore. But Charlie Weiss Jr. was a great interview. There really wasn't many Ole Miss people talking to him. It was me and Rabelais and a couple other LSU writers and maybe one or two Ole Miss TV guys. Also talked to Kevin Smith, the running backs coach. He was a great interview. And talked to Trinidad Chambliss, the quarterback who may come to LSU. But very, very interesting day. As Charlie Weiss Jr. said, it's pretty weird being a coach at two schools at the same time.
Well, Glenn, it's really and truly unprecedented. Like, it's never happened like this before. What did Charlie say about that?
Well, he said that at the end of the day, he gets on the phone and starts talking to the other LSU coaches about recruiting and getting everything lined up for signing day and what direction they're going when the portal starts on January 2nd. He made it very clear that, he hasn't talked to any players about transferring. I mean, he is talking to recruits from high school, but he made it clear he's not talking to any players about transferring yet. And I asked him if there were guardrails up when Ole Miss decided to bring the guys back, and he said there's no guardrails because they know we respect the program. And I think that's true to an extent. I mean, these guys have been there a long time. But I thought the funniest thing that Charlie said was that the topic turned to Lane Kiffin, and he said he's the greatest offensive genius he's ever been around. And this is the son of a 3-time Super Bowl winning offensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss Sr. with New England. Now, yeah, he had Tom Brady, but still, I thought that was pretty funny.
Hey, is there any reason in particular, and I know this is off tangent, but why the Ole Miss Rebels arrived in New Orleans on a New England Patriots plane?
You got me, man.
That was weird.
That's a good story.
Yeah, that was weird.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I wondered if it had anything to do with Weiss or not. But anyway, do you talk to Chambliss today too? And you've got stories on both Weiss and Chambliss up on TigerRag.com right now. They're getting a lot of activity. What did Chambliss say that was particularly interesting or revealing?
Well, it was funny because some friends of mine who were at the whole Trinidad interview said in the beginning he didn't say anything about the NCAA suit. He just, he just kind of brushed it off and had little to say. But by the time I got over there after I was finished talking to Charlie Weiss, there was only a couple of guys there, me and Jeff Duncan from the Picayune. And he started talking a little bit more about it, as you can read in the story. He, he thinks there's going to be a decision. He's going to get a decision between, in January in time to enter the portal if he indeed does that. And then, he talked about Tom Mars, hiring Tom, who's been a guest on Tiger Egg Radio. He's a noted sports attorney, and he feels strongly about his case. So he thinks he's going to get the waiver. There are some national media people that think he's not, though, like Pete Thamel. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
So the issue there is that right now the NCAA offices are closed for the holidays. So there's no way he's going to get any type of feedback from them, much less a decision, until January 2nd. Or actually, probably January 2nd, right, which is the day the portal opens. Right, which is the day the portal opens. So let's assume that Georgia beats the heck out of Ole Miss tomorrow night or on New Year's night, like I think they're probably going to do. It's possible that we may have some activity in the transfer portal from Chambliss as early as Friday or Saturday.
Well, I guess he could enter the portal on the condition that he gets a senior year. he said hopefully he'll hear something Friday when they open, but they could stretch things. I mean, he said before the playoff game against Tulane that he thought he was going to hear from him within a few days. So you never know with the NCAA, they tend to take a long time. But if he doesn't get the clearance before January 16th, maybe they could give him another waiver because there's not another window before the 26 season starts.
Yeah, I think it's interesting what you said, though. Maybe he can enter the portal even though he doesn't have his waiver yet. And I mean, you know, maybe he could enter the NFL draft and get drafted, and if he didn't like where he landed, he could come back, you know? I don't know. That seems to be what's going on in the NCAA right now, but more on that later. We're going to talk more in the second segment and play some of the actual interview that you had with Weiss. And one of the subjects that he talked about was what he and Lane look for in a quarterback. And he named Chambliss in that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, and Jackson Dart. And it was interesting. He said they don't try to fit the quarterback to the system. They adjust the system to the quarterback. So, you know, they watched film of Trinidad at his Division II school, Ferris State in Michigan, and then molded the offense around that. And, I mean, it's really amazing how well he did so quickly this year after coming from Division II. You know, he may well have done very well at a lot of places, but I think you do have to give Lane and Charlie Weiss credit for getting such a good season out of him.
Yeah, and I meant to ask you about this, but what does Chambliss himself say why he thinks he has a strong case to get his waiver granted by the NCAA?
Well, he says, you know, he only played 3 years, which T.J. Finley can't say that for sure. But, you know, he said he had the typical redshirt year, his first year as a freshman. And then the next year he didn't play because of a medical redshirt. I think there's some people that think maybe he wasn't hurt. He just didn't play. But
he claims he had tonsillitis. He claims
right,
he had tonsillitis.
Exactly.
And heart palpitations, too.
But,
right,
but from
and
what
he's got medical records and so forth for that.
And I think when you talk about the national media, I just want to put this out there, just so our listeners are not clear, what the national media has been suggesting is that Ferris State is not playing along with these reasons on why he didn't play his first true season when he did appear in two games that year. But Ferris State is saying, well, he didn't play because there were other guys that were better than him. It wasn't because of these medical issues.
But Tom Mars.
Yeah, and I've
go ahead, Glenn.
And, you know, I've seen it both ways. I've seen it that he played no games in 22 and then that he played two games in 22. But, you know, there's been a lot of guys that have got that other year who played, you know, like 5 years or 4 years, well, you know. So it's really weird that the precedent is not exactly being held to.
Well, and you know what's interesting to me? If he really does have medical documentation to back up his claims,
it should be a slam dunk case.
No brainer, right?
But you never know with the NCAA. So
interesting. Right. Interesting.
Yeah. Hey, before we get on to you mentioned Todd, we're going to hear a little more from Charlie Weiss. I did want to ask you, Glenn, while you had a chance to speak with Kevin Smith. Did he? I'm not sure exactly where that interview went, Glenn, but did you guys bring up the awkwardness here of this with Frank Wilson being such a beloved coach, running backs coach here at LSU, and now Kevin coming in and replacing him?
You know, I didn't ask him about Frank, but I did ask him, you know, I said, well, I guess that wasn't an ultimatum from Lane, you know, because that was the story at the time. He said, get on the plane to LSU or you can't come. And Kevin Smith said apparently that wasn't true because Kevin wasn't on that plane and he didn't agree to go to LSU until like weeks later.
Okay.
So that was some myth reporting there. But no, he's very excited about following Lane. You know, I think if Lane was going to coach at University of Alaska, some of these guys would be going with him.
All right, let's get into a little bit more of what Charlie Weiss had to say today at Media Day of the Sugar Bowl. We'll do that. This is Tiger Rag Radio. You can get us on all your podcasts, wherever you get your podcast as well. Also, check us out on YouTube as well. Check out the Tiger Rag YouTube channel. We'll have more of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio when we come back.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to... Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious... With multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit LAFarmBureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
How you doing? This is Snoop Dogg.
Tiger Rag. Tiger Rag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are tuned in.
Talk LSU sports, interviews, opinions, and your calls around the Tiger Nation.
Baton Rouge was the life for me. Home of the LSU Tigers.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
Hey, we love to score and get highlights and championships and play to win.
Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio, Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn, and one more segment here with Tiger Rag editor Glenn Gill before he spends the night partying and eating chips and doing whatever your reporters do at these media parties involving a
bogey. I think it's going to involve cigars and whiskey.
That's right.
I've seen you at these media parties, Jeff Palermo.
Yeah. On my best behavior, mind you. All right, let's get into a little bit of what Charlie Weiss had to say today. You know, we heard after that win over Tulane in the first round game of the college football playoff, Pete Golding talking about Charlie Weiss and really touting the job that he did developing the game plan for that contest against the Green Wave and calling the plays. And today, good questions here being asked by Glenn Gilbert and fellow reporters about Lane Kiffin's involvement with the offense, even though Charlie Weiss is the main play caller. Let's go ahead and play this first soundbite.
He's extremely involved in the process. You know, a lot of it is more maybe, hey, before the series,
right.
You know, some of those sorts of things. Or he's just got such an unbelievable feel for the game, too, where he's got moments where, you know, he sees something, recognizes something, and says, hey, Charlie, get to this, all of that stuff right there. So it's certainly, you know, a collaborative effort for sure. Number one is leadership, you know, finding a guy who's the right leader that can, you know, in the SEC.
All right, so there you heard. We'll get to that second soundbite there in a second. But there you heard Charlie Weiss talking about Lane Kiffin and kind of what he does. Like most head coaches, I would think, especially with an offensive background that Lane Kiffin has, he's going to make suggestions and so forth, and he certainly has a big play. But I think a lot of people were, you know, that – before we really understood this relationship between Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss, thought that Lane was the one calling the plays, but it really is Charlie Weiss calling the plays and then Lane intervening and suggesting when he feels it's appropriate.
Yeah, and you know, I had talked to some Mississippi writers about that like in November, and they thought that, or some of them, they weren't sure, but they thought Charlie might have just taken over full control this year. But Charlie told me, right before that soundbite, that he's been calling all the plays since 2022 when he first got back to Ole Miss, and that when he was at Florida Atlantic with Lane, he called all the plays every year except this first year there, where Lane was still kind of calling them. So this guy is very active, you know, as the play caller, and he also had a pretty big role. I mean, he wasn't calling plays, but when Lane was calling plays as Alabama's OC, he was just an analyst, but he was kind of an advanced analyst, and he was very close with Lane and how they worked with Jake Coker and Jalen Hurts, and then Lane was impressed enough to make him his OC at Florida Atlantic. So, and this guy is only 32, and he looks about 25.
Yeah.
And you know, he seems really, really sharp. So I think we're in for some real interesting times at LSU with this staff.
And you know what? The thing that jumps out at me, especially when you talk about Charlie Weiss Jr. the way you're talking about him, is, and listening to that clip, is he really appreciates Lane Kiffin's overall understanding of offensive football today, which is why he's recognized as the offensive mind that he's recognized. And whether Kiffin's calling the plays or Weiss is, as you say, and I'm sure Weiss is, I think back to what Ed Ogeron said a couple of weeks ago, and that is that Kiffin is an offensive savant, and he sort of sees – he's the only person he's ever seen, Kiffin, that can see the field of all 22 players at one time in slow motion from the sideline and be able to make adjustments on the fly. And I think that's just an incredible combination if that's true.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can remember when Lane was the offensive coordinator at Alabama, they would have the sideline camera on him, and they would show it usually after a touchdown. But Lane, like when the quarterback had barely got the snap, they had the double screen, and Lane is jumping up and down on the sideline pointing to the open receiver. You know, I mean, he saw it before the quarterback did. So he really is to offense in the college game what Nick was to defense.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, this is what Charlie Weiss had to say today about what they look for in a quarterback to run this offense.
Number one is leadership, you know, finding a guy who's the right leader that can, you know, in the SEC, obviously, you're going to be in some battles. So having a guy that the players want to play for and want to play with is extremely important to me. And I think those are some traits that I've seen with Jackson, you know, with Trinidad, and the guys really love their play style and how they play the game and all that right there. So I think leadership is certainly the first thing that comes to mind. I think the next thing is really just intelligence to be able to handle our system and do all the different things that we do. So, you know, having a good football mind and being able to pick up all the pieces of the system and be able to think like us to get on the same wavelength is really important. And then obviously you got to have the traits too.
And that's good stuff there from Charlie Weiss. Glenn, we're going to have to let you go. We'll get you to your big night on the town, but look forward to your coverage of the Sugar Bowl and look forward to transfer portal open window time. Should be a lot of fun. Thanks, Glenn.
Yeah, and well, I'll have a feature up on Kevin Smith in the morning from our interview today. And then there'll be more from Charlie as we get going into the game on Thursday. So
cool.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, we'll take a break. Sports Information Director Michael Bonnet when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. While I'm a fourth generation rice and soybean grower, you don't have to be a farmer to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member. Membership has its benefits, from discounts on car seats, hotel rooms, and rental cars, to access to insurance you can count on to be there when you need, plus a whole lot more. We're 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Let's go! Back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn. We are working hard tonight from the Super Chevy Dealer Studios, unlike our colleague Glenn Gilbo, who's probably got that margarita in his hand by now, Todd.
He's a whiskey guy.
That's right. I keep forgetting. You want to hear a little more from Charlie Weiss? You want to keep that going
So the most interesting things to me were the last clip that we just ended with, where they were describing what they look for in a quarterback.
You want to play that clip again for those that just might be joining us?
Yeah, sure. I'll play it again.
Yeah, go ahead, Andre.
Number one is leadership, you know, finding a guy who's the right leader that can, you know, in the SEC, obviously, you're going to be in some battles. So having a guy that the players want to play for and want to play with is extremely important to me. And I think those are some traits that I've seen with Jackson, you know, with Trinidad, and the guys really love their play style and how they play the game and all that right there. So I think leadership is certainly the first thing that comes to mind. I think the next thing is really just intelligence to be able to handle our system and do all the different things that we do. So, you know, having a good football mind and being able to pick up all the pieces of the system and be able to think like us to get on the same wavelength is really important. And then obviously you got to have the traits too.
So, Jeff, if we can now sort of tie that one into clip four, where he's talking, Weiss is talking about how their system is molded to a quarterback, and there's a method to my madness here.
We've always molded the system, you know, to the quarterback and not the other way around. It's not like a cookie-cutter guy that you look for. It's, hey, who's the best one that we have, and let's make an offense that works for him.
So LSU right now is in a situation where they have one quarterback, Michael Van Buren, who is a scholarship player on the roster, and they're not even sure right now, even, you know, if he's gonna stay. So it's very possible that Kiffin and Weiss right now are gonna have to go into the portal and sign two, maybe even three quarterbacks. And I think that's very insightful information from him, that they do have specific qualities that they look for, but at the same time, they're open to applying their offense to quarterbacks with different traits. I think that really opens it up a little bit. It's not like you're looking for somebody who can do X, Y, Z. You're looking for those specific leadership qualities, and their traits can be molded around whatever.
Yeah, leadership and football IQ sound like the two big ones.
Yeah, and another interesting point, too, I heard this from, I think it was Kiffin, talking about Chambliss early in the season. He, at Ole Miss, you know, he didn't start until I think the second or third game whenever Austin Simmons got hurt. And Chambliss did not start the season well at all at Ole Miss. He was messing up a lot, supposedly in camp, wasn't adapting to the offense. And they asked Kiffin about that, and he said, well, you know, you just have to stick with a quarterback when you recognize these qualities and traits in them. He didn't say that, but that's what I see him saying now. And just stick with them, and then they come around, and suddenly you have greatness on your hands. And Chambliss has truly been great this year.
He's been fantastic. I think one of the biggest stories of the college football season, and I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by what they could potentially do Thursday night when they take on Georgia. I'm really fascinated to see, especially if this is a close game. You know, it was going up against Tulane and just cruising through the Green Wave defense on their first offensive drive was one thing, right? That's, you know, that probably put everyone at ease, and they just kind of did their thing against Tulane. What happens now in this game against the Bulldogs, and when it's going to be a pressure situation, and Georgia's going to show you a lot of different stuff, and how are they going to react, and this and that. So it'll be fascinating to see how this Ole Miss team responds to all of that.
Well, I agree with you. It's going to be fascinating, but I don't hold out much hope for Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss, in this situation, going back to what we talked about last segment with Kiffin and how he is an offensive savant and sees things on the field that other people doesn't see, and how he contributes to the play calling, even though he's not the person calling the plays, but contributes to each drive and, you know, the entire flow of the game. I think Ole Miss is really going to miss him in this game. Georgia is a lot better of a team than they were 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, whenever Ole Miss and Georgia played in Athens. This team defensively is as good as, you know, they've just made tremendous strides over that time period. You know, Ole Miss wasn't able to force Georgia to punt in that last game. And offensively, Georgia is a lot better than they were. I'm not sure that Ole Miss is going to have what it takes to stay on the field with them for a full 60 minutes in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans on New Year's night.
Let's just hear a couple other things here from Charlie. We kind of hit on this before we close out this segment, just about the these will be the first couple of sound bites here, Andre, just about the difficulty of trying to basically handle two jobs at once. We'll start off with that Charlie one cut, Andre.
It's been extremely emotional. I mean, it's been very difficult, just, you know, having to make these, you know, difficult decisions. But at the same time, obviously, you know, you got, you know, the playoffs, you know, even during, you know, like, yeah, the Egg Bowl, the playoffs, all this thing kind of just all spiraled and hit really quickly. But I'm really just blessed to be in the position I'm in to get to coach this team and to get to do great things later on, too. And so as difficult and emotional it's been, I feel very fortunate, too.
All right, let's hear the second one here before we close out this segment.
I don't think it's been a distraction this year. I feel like, you know, I've been able to fully, you know, pour in and make sure that, you know, we got the right game plan and got the right things to do offensively and still meet with the players, you know, on the same sort of schedule. And then, you know, at nighttime, you know, just got to be able to flip the job and, you know, do some recruiting stuff on the other side with LSU. So it's been, you know, strange. But, no, I don't feel like it's been a distraction at all. Our players, they're a very mature group, too. And so I credit them a lot.
I just don't buy it, Todd. I think this has been a huge distraction. Again, it was one thing to go up against Georgia, and I don't know how much he's been really involved in the LSU stuff, but I just find, considering how much these coaches prepare during a given week, now it's probably helped Ole Miss's case here that they've played two teams so far in the postseason that they also faced in the regular season. So not necessarily as much preparation as if they were playing Oregon or someone like that this week. But I still can't imagine that this is easy. I mean, this is why Nick Saban didn't have Lane Kiffin be the offensive coordinator when he was taking the Florida Atlantic job.
Yeah, but by the same token, the only chance Ole Miss has of staying on the field is having those guys down there, LSU coaches down there. So
yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. It'll be a fascinating game. It'll be a fascinating 2 days here with quarterfinals beginning tomorrow night, New Year's Eve. So let's take a break. More coming up of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio. We'll be back after this.
And we're back with Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn. And again, if you're just joining us, want to hear the whole show, we had Glenn on talking a lot of Charlie Weiss, who spoke today at Sugar Bowl Media Day. You can check out a podcast version of the show anywhere you get your podcast. Also, it is available on YouTube as well shortly after the show airs tonight is when we get off the air at 8 o'clock. The quarterfinals of the college football playoffs begin New Year's Eve night. Miami and Ohio State, 40.5 is the point total. Obviously, we're anticipating a pretty low-scoring game here. Miami just squeaking out a win against Texas A&M. And even though it was not a very high-scoring game when they beat the Aggies 10-3, I found it a very compelling game as Miami really hung in there and then got a touchdown in the second half, took the lead, and had to hold on for the victory. But what do you think here? Can Miami do it again, or is Ohio State just too good, Todd?
I actually believe that Miami's defensive line and their overall defense, based on what they did against Texas A&M and how they finished the season late in the year, is going to provide a pretty stiff challenge to Ohio State, especially because Saban has not looked good offensively, you know, their quarterback in the last few weeks. So I think it's going to be a challenge for Ohio State to go against that Miami offense. I give Miami a more than a good chance in this game. I think it's going to be very competitive.
I'll say it's going to be competitive, but I don't think that I don't think that Miami is going to win strictly because of how good Ohio State's defense is. And the only teams that have beat Ohio State are the teams that haven't turned the ball over. And Miami's had a problem turning the ball over.
And that's a great point, Luke. And let me tell you, let me take this a step further. into what you're saying. I think that if Miami has to throw the ball, if they cannot run the ball effectively, they're in trouble as far as that goes. But to Jeff's point, the over-under is, what, 40?
It is extremely low, I think.
40 and a half.
Yeah, so, that's, I mean, very low. I think what you said is if Miami has any offensive success at all on the ground, then it's really going to be a game.
Three games, of course, on New Year's Day, Oregon and Texas Tech. Texas Tech's big marquee wins, two victories over BYU and Utah. I don't know. I know they got a lot of talent. I know they've bought a – or one guy's bought a huge roster in this, and they got a lot of talent. But I'm just curious to see now that they really go up against a legitimate top 10 team how they fare against Oregon.
So I hope, all right, now this is the fan in me coming out. I really hope that Texas Tech kicks Oregon's butt. Okay?
Why is that?
Because I am sick of Oregon, all right? I'm sick of their uniforms. I'm sick of Dan Lanning, and I'm sick of them making the college football playoffs, it seems like, every year now. I realize it's only been a few in a row, but still, to me, what they did in the second half against James Madison is sinful. You know, they were just railroading them, running over them, and they just basically sat down and quit in the second half. And I hope they get just whipped for that reason. I just didn't like that at all.
Yeah, I still don't know which one to pick. I mean, I think the line is 1.5 right now in Texas.
Two and a half, Oregon.
Wow, okay. So I would probably – I'm leaning more towards Oregon just because of the coaching. You know, they've been in the playoffs before. They've had that experience. Last year, I think, left a bad taste in their mouth how they were the number one seed, got, you know, killed by Ohio State. I think this year they're looking to make a statement. I don't think they really have the team to necessarily win it all, but I think they'll – probably beat a Texas Tech team that really hasn't had to really fight adversity as far as this season, I would say. I mean, most of their games have been blowouts. Without their quarterback, they obviously lost. That was their lone loss, right?
To Arizona State.
Right,
So they lost Arizona State by 4.
So I'll go with the Ducks.
So with Texas Tech, just curious, what are your guys' opinion of Joey McGuire? I mean, he's not, you know, his background is not –
Yeah, it's different, but it's – I mean, they've won. But and usually it's kind of different because, you know, Texas Tech or the Big 12 just in general usually beats up on each other. This year it's been kind of different, you know, where they've had not only, you know, Texas Tech, but they've also had, you know, a BYU team that's come close to making it. So I think, you know, that says a little something about what they're building over there. But, I mean, sure, when you have the money to build a roster, it makes it kind of hard for you not to find that talent.
So before we move forward, do you guys think that both Ole Miss and Oregon are going to pay a price for having played those group of five teams in the first round?
No.
I don't think so.
I think it helps you a little bit. I think for Oregon, I think you feel – or excuse me, especially I think for Ole Miss's perspective, I think you felt good considering that was your first college football playoff game. You were able to kind of basically dip your toe in the water. And I think you should probably feel, and now you get to play Georgia again, I think you probably feel comfortable in this, even though you don't have Lane. Where for Oregon, as you mentioned in the second half, they were just like, okay, they lost interest in that game pretty quick. So,
I do think it's going to be more defensive game for this.
What I think is a big crime is that Texas Tech has its best season ever in college football history. And they don't get to host a college football playoff game. I think a college football playoff game in Lubbock, Texas would be just insane. It would be absolutely insane environment.
Maybe they should just bring the horse rider over to...
Instead, they're playing in Miami, which is you're going to lose everything. All right, well, we got a couple more games to get to. Alabama, Indiana, Ole Miss, Georgia. We kind of talked a little bit already about the Rebels, Bulldogs. We'll talk Indiana, Alabama, Rose Bowl when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
I'm Richard Funtno, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation.
For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
We now return to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
All right, last segment of hour number one. Coming up in the second hour, Nick Bromberg from Yahoo Sports will join us. Looking forward to that conversation as we dive deep into the transfer portal. Friday and really the next couple weeks are going to be absolutely fascinating. I know it's been discouraging from LSU fans' perspective to see all these players jump into the transfer portal or announce that they're going into transfer portal. Well, the door swings the other way starting on Friday, and as we watch Lane Kiffin go to work. So look forward to hearing Nick's thoughts on that and the whole process. But we do have the quarterfinals of the college football playoffs to entertain us New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And when it comes to the Rose Bowl, I'm going to kind of take your same your same opinion of Oregon, and I'm going to shift it to Indiana. I hope Alabama – I'm tired of Nick Sirianni. I'm tired of hearing about how they're the greatest college football team ever. I'm Fernando Mendoza maniaed out. I hope Alabama beats them by 3 touchdowns. How about that?
That's crazy. That's just crazy.
Why is it crazy, Andre?
Before I express my opinion on that, Jeff, this is the first time, I think this is interesting, this is the first meeting ever between these two schools.
Yes.
It's also the first time Indiana's ever played a football game as the number one team in the country.
Wow.
So,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
And, I did not know that. That's the other thing I don't like about Indiana. I give Indiana a lot of credit for going to Oregon and winning that game. And I also give them credit for in most of their games this season. I mean, I know they struggled against Penn State, but Penn State actually finished the season off pretty strong considering everything that they've been going through.
Did you watch that bowl game?
Against Clemson?
Yeah.
That was a great game to take a Sunday nap after Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially if you didn't want to get nauseated.
But still, they won the game, and they actually did finish off. I think they won 4 in a row to finish off the season. So you went to Happy Valley and you pulled off a win. But I just kind of want to see them get a dose of reality. I kind of feel like during these two seasons, and I give them a lot of credit because they've come out of nowhere and they become this team and this and that. But they haven't had a – I know, and they played Ohio State in the Big Ten. I know I'm giving all these dang exceptions, but it seems like during the season they miss out on all these other teams, especially last year. And I don't know. I would love to see Alabama. I thought Alabama received too much criticism for getting into the college football playoff just because you lost to a really good team and you didn't play very well in a 13th game where most schools are not playing 13 games.
I was just going to make the point that I believe at least this is the weakest Alabama team there's been in so long. And that comes
from
the offense.
They can't run the ball.
That's the key right there. Right. That's and if Alabama pedigree is going to pounce on the Cinderella story if they can somehow manufacture enough offense because I think Alabama's going to provide Mendoza with a lot to think about defensively.
Okay,
that's fair. I would probably agree with that. Their defense is very good.
Georgia, Ole Miss, and we all like Georgia in that one.
Georgia.
In the end,
I like Georgia big.
I'd love to see Ole Miss win.
I want LSU coaches back in
Baton Rouge. How much does that cost LSU?
A lot of money.
If all I can tell you is that if Ole Miss wins the national championship, LSU owes Lane Kiffin $750,000 more.
Wow.
right, let's we'll take a break. Hey, coming up, Nick Bromberg from Yahoo Sports. Looking forward to that interview. More coming up here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.